now, The Bill Henry Show with Bill Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Bill Henry.
On our show tonight, Margaret Gray will join us. She is a nationally syndicated newspaper columnist, but she's also a landlord, and she owns several townhomes. She'll be talking about the, quote, and I'm quoting here, the danger of renting to single mothers, end quote. Also, Bobby Dooley, president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, joins us. She was recently arrested for keying a woman's car. We're going to find out about that. By the way, I was just listening to Pink Floyd just before the show started. We were listening to Pink Floyd's The Wall. You know, you got to say one thing about Pink Floyd. What an up, bright, positive band they were. Weren't they just up and bright and cheerful? You know, I've become comfortably numb. And when I was a kid, I had a fever and I hallucinated and another brick in the wall. Those guys, just like every Englishman I ever met, just smiling and cheerful and skipping through the day. God! Now, I have it on good authority that just a little bit of a Michael Moore update. I'm not going to beat it into the ground. Don't worry about it. Just a little thing I want to tell you. I have it on good authority that Mr. Moore was on my very close personal friend's Kevin and Bean show this morning. Bean, I don't know too good, but Kevin came here. He came and watched us do our show. Very nice guy. Unfortunately, the day that he came, we were having kind of a bad time of it, and I was screaming at my staff, and Kevin walked out of here looking both frightened and disgusted. But no, very nice man. And in any event, Moore was on their show because I bet you he thought he was going to get softballed by those guys. Well, guess what? Bean apparently softballed the hell out of him and was licking his kneecaps up one side and down the other. But when it came around to my very dear, close, personal friend Kevin, he ripped him an ass. Or at least, according to some of my emailers, he did get pointed in the questions about the movie, that he spun facts, that he contrived situations, that he contorted interviews. And Moore, according to at least three or four separate emailers to the show, was completely on the defensive. Completely on the defensive. And in the words of one of my emailers, was like a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest, man. He was out of his element. He started getting defensive, started asking lame questions of his own. I'm reading from one email. This is from Mark in Anaheim. He said he acted immature. He wouldn't answer some questions directly. And it was rather embarrassing for Mr. Moore. The more he talked and tried to defend himself, the more he embarrassed himself. According to another emailer, when Moore was put on the defensive by our good friend Kevin, he was asked about his interviews that never occurred and his continuous slamming of the 9/11 commission. He became hostile and angry, but never did answer the question directly. That's exactly what I anticipated would happen. That's precisely what I know would happen if he got on this show. And believe me, I wouldn't have any mercy on the guy. There would be blood all over this place, on the walls, the floor. They'd be mopping up for weeks. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who think that this man is credible, do you understand? Do you remember that flick, The People versus Larry Flint? Now, there's a great scene in the movie where Larry Flint is talking to his staff, and he's reading from Playboy. And as you know, Larry Flint developed the magazine Hustler, and it was in its time and continues to be, I guess, the everyman's Playboy. Those of us who, oh, I don't know, eat at Denny's and drink malt liquor, you know, that's the one we read because it gets right to the point, you know? And when I say it gets to the point, man, I mean like by page 3. And he's looking at Playboy with all of its conversation about cocktail shakers and quadraphonic sound and BMWs. He says, gentlemen, Playboy is mocking you. It's mocking you. You don't live like this. It's taking you for granted. It is saying, well, we got all the really great-looking chicks with all of those big boobs, so you guys, we can throw any kind of baloney at you and you're just going to go right along for the ride. Well, I submit that that's precisely, those of you who believe that Mr. Moore's film is credible, that's exactly what he's doing to you. He's taking you for a ride, and he's mocking you. If you ask, I understand that you're a liberal Democrat or you're a Democrat, so am I. But why won't you ask the questions that I'm asking, that other people are asking? Why won't you just do that? Why wouldn't you just ask him this? Why did you say that we shouldn't even be in Afghanistan because Osama bin Laden is innocent until proven guilty, and then you turn right around and you slam the president for sending troops to Afghanistan? Why do you say President Bush has no right to behave the way he does golfing, when in point of fact there's other presidents that are golfing? Why won't you take some of these things seriously, Mr. Moore, instead of just trying to giggle your way through them, just trying to be sarcastic? Sarcasm is not satire. Sarcasm is somebody with, it's like a drunk at 2 o'clock in the morning with a cocktail on his last cigarette just going, well, okay, it's not really making any point. He said it and we got it on tape. It's personal. It's personal. I got it, you know, Mark's got it. But with President Bush, this isn't a personal attack, is it? He goes, oh, yes, it is. And he laughed, and I suppose he could say, well, because I laughed, therefore I wasn't serious. What exactly are you serious about, man? Well, I'll answer that question before you do. You aren't serious about anything, and yet you're serious about all of it. The only thing you're really serious about, in other words, is you. You, you, and you. That makes three of you, and that's about what fits into you, three of you. Actually, more like three of Janices could fit into one Michael Moore. Actually, no, about 10 Janices could fit into Michael Moore, if you'll pardon me for saying that, Janice. I know the thought of that disgusts you even more than it does me. A one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. There you go. That's Michael Moore. Now, the difference is there is a sycophantic group of people who desperately want to believe that they're right about the war in Iraq, and so they'll hang on to anybody that comes along and feeds them a line. Now, recently, the former vice president of this country, the guy that ran for president in 2000, a man that I voted for, Al Gore, has very lamely, and I mean in an almost stale and dull way, started attacking Bush about the Al-Qaeda connection with Saddam. Now, like, this argument hasn't been waged over and over and over again. He says the 9/11 Commission hasn't found any credible evidence. That's not what the 9/11 Commission said they found. They said they couldn't find any collaborative relationship. They couldn't find. The point is that everybody's missing. Everybody's missing this point. The point is the intelligence pointed in that direction to the extent that the Clinton administration and the Bush administration believed that it was there. The Clinton administration and the Bush administration. Let me just say it if you didn't hear me. The Clinton administration and the Bush, does it make any difference to anybody? Why all of a sudden is Bush looked at as a liar because he interpreted the exact same intelligence the way the Clinton administration did, but the Clinton administration, well, hell, they did everything that they possibly could. Now, I believe that the Clinton administration did everything they could. Like I said, I voted for those guys. And I also think the President Bush did. But you can't have it both ways, sports fans. You can't sit there smugly and say, Bush isn't doing anything, Clinton did everything. Clinton is as culpable as Bush for being dumb. Or if Bush is a liar, Clinton's a liar. Now that's all there is to it. That's the facts, Jack. That's the truth, Ruth. And that's where I'm at. You cannot stand there with a straight face and say to people that the Clinton administration was more effective and had a better handle on fighting Al-Qaeda than the Bush administration did, when the Bush administration was in office a whole, oh, I don't know, whatever the hell it was, 9-10 months, and in point of fact, Al-Qaeda wanted to launch the attack in June of 2001. That's really good, Phil.
Boy, that's stupid. It's 0001.
Yeah, that's right, bud. It's 0001. What's that, 20,001?
No, it's 2001.
How many zeros are in 2000?
Two.
What do you mean, two?
It's 2001.
I said 2000, not 2001.
There's three.
Then how many zeros in 2001?
Three.
How do you say 2001?
20001.
Every time I try to make a good point on this show, you come in and screw everything up.
It's 2201.
What an idiot! Okay, Janice, you're going to have to do this. Fire him. I'm not doing it, okay? I don't want to look into that retarded little face, and you do it. Where was I? You can't say that when the Bush administration in June of 2001 should have been more effective at preventing a terrorist attack when they'd been in office since November of 2000, which is, I don't know, whatever the hell it is, 6 freaking months, okay? June of 2001 is when they wanted to put this thing off. So Bush really would have had to have been on top of that, man, because, hey, Clinton sure was, wasn't he? He was all over it, baby, like white on rice, man. He had that Al-Qaeda thing dead to rights. Hey, he almost got him. Almost freaking got him. What, you know, what has happened to this country that we have gotten so bloody frightened of our own shadow, we're willing to believe any flim-flam man that comes down the road, any guy selling snake oil, so long as he tells us all the right things? You don't have to go to war. You don't have to suffer. Everything's going to be okay. John Kerry's going to become president, and he'll roll the clock back to September the 10th, and the big whole bad dream never happened. Oh, my God. Do you read? Hey, Moore, do you read? Oh, I know the answer to that. You don't read, man, other than your own freaking press clippings and occasionally a bathroom scale. Only to smile, though. When it tips 350, you're like, ooh, goody, 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 goody. Read, man. Talk about reading the Patriot Act. I'd suggest you read the Patriot Act. Then I'd suggest you read up on federal law as to what exactly was legal before the Patriot Act. Just about everything in the Patriot Act was already legal. Anybody out there know that? But let's get past that. Let's talk about this Al-Qaeda connection that Bush is lying about. It was a connection that was believed to exist by the Clinton administration, for God's sakes. And right now, in the middle of a presidential election, when people need to be thinking clearly about these things, along comes the guy from The Wizard of Oz. Remember that clown with the selling the snake oil there in The Wizard of Oz? My little lady, I can send you on back to Kansas. All you have to do. That's this guy, Michael Moore, a self-aggrandizing narcissist, a guy who's interested only in promoting his career. He's got nothing in this movie of substance. Nothing. Did you see it, Phil? Yeah, I'll go see it, man. I haven't been invited to any of the private screenings where he's packed the house with the, you know, every Hollywood imbecile he can find. No, man, I ain't seen that. No. But I'll go see it. I'll go see it, and then I'll go home believing exactly as I do now. I don't need to see some guy's contorted, weak effort, weak sauce ass effort at satire, let alone an attempt to tell me that this is a documentary, a construction of facts. It's bullcrap. The only facts about what's up on that screen is the fact that it was digested through a cow's intestine and came out its rear end, okay? That I know for a fact. And it can make a very nice green dichondra lawns grow. That's the facts about Moore's little documentary. And he doesn't care, man. He doesn't care if he misinforms an entire populace, if he destroys our ability to conduct a sensible election. I mean, this guy's running campaign ads for Kerry. That's what those movie ads are. They're basically campaign ads for Kerry. Say anything about it, though, and you're trying to censor him. And he plays the put-upon artist. He plays the martyr. He plays the bohemian who's having his fingernails pulled out in Saddam Hussein's dungeons. Yeah, that's what he is, all right. The only way that guy's suffering is they can't find a freaking limousine big enough to fit his fat ass into, man. He may actually have to come to one of these screenings in an ambulance. They may have to tie him to a cot and put him in the back of an ambulance. That's the new Michael Moore limousine. 1-800-449-8686. We got Bobby Dooley coming up. We got Margaret Gray coming up. We have a Steve Bozell flashback coming up. Our website is up and running, and it's a beautiful thing. And
what about a Navigator limousine?
What about it, man?
You get him in that.
After the show, Janice wants to talk to you, man.
What about?
Just she'll be talking to you. Our website at www.philhenryshow.com. Everything you need to know about our show and more. If you want to order our Best Of CD, the 2003 CD, The Best of Phil Henry Show, you can order it online, or you can call 877-616-7445. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, listen, we have a wall of female listeners on our website, and if you'd like to send a picture, just send it to phs@philhenryshow.com. Make sure it's a picture of yourself. Ladies, with a picture of me in it. And we have a new picture up on our wall of female listeners today. It's of Jemima. Thank you so very much, Jemima, for your picture. She's white. Jesus. She looks pretty sweet. And she's got on that Phil, I Love Phil t-shirt and holding up some of our CDs. Yeah, so let me just take a look at another female that we got in recently. Oh, here's Anne, a real psycho case. Look at Anne. She's nuts, man. She's a redhead. Kind of a beautiful face on her. Here's another lovely lady named Renee. And they're all just there on our wall of female listeners. Send it in today. So Dick Cheney told Patrick Leahy of Vermont today to cram it. I mean, he used the F word on him. Did you hear about this? The vice president said, F you, you bald-headed MF. Why? I'll tell you why. Leahy, along with so many other members of my party, the Democratic Party, can't get past the anti-Bush stance and become proactive in how to get our country moving in the right direction, if indeed it's going in the wrong direction, which I don't think it is. He's got to keep going back to that Halliburton thing over and over and over and over again. The guy was the former CEO. He divested himself of his interest in that company and any influence he has with that company in decision-making. And they keep bringing up Halliburton. And you want to know something? If I was Vice President Cheney, I would have told a guy to F it, too. And I wish I could use the word, but I can't, on account of it's bad. Maybe if I have this music behind it. You know, Senator Leahy, F you. F it. Anyway, why don't you cats get something else to talk about, man, with Halliburton? They ain't built the pipeline yet, man. In fact, I don't see the only war profiteering going on is fat ass. Fat ass is making more money off the Iraq war than any of us. Oh, but I forgot. He's against it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's against it and all those soldiers. Gee, it's a real crying shame, isn't it, that all those guys are dead? But he sure as hell has a very gleeful moments where he's got their coffins stacked up 18 deep in it. If I was Cheney, I would have told that guy to F off, too. And by the way, the Senate was not in session, so he hadn't broken any rules. He's just sick and tired of listening to these guys. They got nothing to say. Nothing to say other than what everybody else is doing wrong. God forbid if 9-11 had happened when I voted for the man, but if 9-11 had happened when Gore was president, if he'd been elected, we'd be still standing here with our thumbs up our asses. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Complaining about how Bush Sr. should have done something about it. Okay, here's Dave. Dave?
Bill.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, listen, first of all, you're dead on all the war on terror stuff. But the question I have is, you're always making fun of the Democrats, but you're still a Democrat.
Yeah.
I was wondering what keeps you as a Democrat?
Well, I am a Democrat. The rest of them aren't.
Well, what is it that they've... I know.
Because I believe that government is not a bad thing. Government is a resource. As I said the other day, if it's a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, why am I supposed to be upset with government? Why am I supposed to be afraid of it or make it smaller or somehow keep it out of my... Government can be... It's me. It's mine. That's who I am, my government. I live in a democracy called the United States of America. That government belongs to me. And if anybody tells me that we're supposed to have less of it, basically what they're telling me is we should have less of the people involved in self-governance. I don't believe in that. I think government can be as big or as small as we need it to be at any given time. But to say that it's an evil entity that is only bad and always screws things up means that the American people are stupid and bad and screw things up. What we need to do is start seeing it as a resource that we can use or not use as we choose. Not just one lock-solid view that it's bad, any more than one lock-solid view that we always got to have it no matter what. No, we don't always have to have it. And that's how I feel about that. F it. Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We have Margaret Gray tonight, renting to single mothers. What do you think of that? Well, it can be very dangerous. She'll be talking about just how dangerous. You know, a lot of single mothers, of course, they're out to steal your man, so watch out for that. We also have Bobby Dooley on, who was arrested for keying a woman's car. It has been a year since Bobby's son died in an automobile accident, and Bobby was very upset when this woman had the temerity to make a right turn without signaling first. So she went and keyed her car, starting at the front right panel and dragging it all the way around the car. Our souvenir shop, by the way, at www.philhenryshow.com, we've got a number of gifts. Now, I see new for Father's Day, it says here on the site. Father's Day is over. However, you know, it takes us a while to update stuff. If you've got an anniversary or a birthday coming up, if you've got any kind of a special occasion, a wedding gift, yeah. Why don't you have them register at philhenry.com for their wedding gifts? Any kind of a special occasion, or if you just want something cool, you know, if you want to just buy something that's different, go to our souvenir shop. Man, there are tons of things there. High-quality items, too. If you think this is some kind of a radio station souvenir shop where we're going to give you these cheesoid silkscreen T-shirts, forget it. High-quality stuff, man. Cotton and silk and cool vinyl coolers like the dad's 16-can cooler. This I Love Phil woman's T-shirt. The Western Estates Country Club gardening kit. It's a whole, like, garden set. We got the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirts. All of the auxiliary police T-shirts, now let me see these things, like 100% cotton. We also have a clip-on compass watch from Jay and the Boys, you know, the Brigadier Admiral and all of the sub-commanders, and of course the founder of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Major Elvis Newton. Now, keep that in mind, he's a higher rank than a Brigadier Admiral, whatever the hell that is. The Citizens Auxiliary Police cap, which is a fitted flex cap. It ain't that trucker cap that everybody's so just all in a heap over, but frankly, I wouldn't be caught dead wearing one of those trucker hats. We take a peek over the shoulder of the police embroidered on the back of the cap. It is a black twill flexit cap, poly and cotton. And then one of the really cooler items, a Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug. I mean, just, it goes on and on and on, man. I can tell you about the Teds of Beverly Hills things. We have an official Phil Hendry Show store. We got shot glasses. We've got coasters, and we've got aprons, and it's all at our souvenir shop, so it's a hell of a place to go to pick up something if like I say, you'd like something unusual as a gift or just something to have that you don't have that you want to keep around if you're a fan of the show and you want something that's quality. All of this stuff is going to last for a long, long time. And all you got to do is go to our souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com. I wanted to get a big plug in there for the old souvenir shop because we don't talk about it much. And you need to understand that the stuff in there is like unreal. It's the highest quality stuff available. At least that's what they tell me. And why would they lie to me? Now, I wanted to also mention that we're going to have a Top 100 Calls of the Year show. It'll be our third annual. And that will be on July the 5th, correct, Janice? Because the 4th lands on a Sunday this year. Monday, July the 5th, the third annual Phil Hendry Show Top 100 Calls of the Year. Now, all kinds of radio shows do all kinds of countdowns, but they all have to do with music. Our show is the first to take the talk radio format and drag it screaming into the future by counting down the top 100 calls. We figure if we're going to insist on putting callers on the air, if that's what talk radio is all about, they better be pretty damn good. And so we've selected the 100 best calls of the year, give or take 80. And we'll put them on the air for you on July the 5th as part of our July 4th weekend celebration. We do it every year, and it'll be cool. Now, 2 years ago, remember when 2 years ago it was 2002, and they had that shooting out at LAX, so we preempted, like, I think two or three calls, didn't we, Janice? That sucked. Did we ever? Oh, we replayed it, though, the following Monday, didn't we? Yeah. This year, you know, barring a terrorist event, which will probably be caused by George Bush because he wants to get reelected, or if not, it'll be caused by Al-Qaeda because they want to elect John Kerry. I don't know, some conspiracy thing will happen, I'm sure. Barring that, you'll hear the top 100 calls of the year coming up on July the 5th on The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Todd Bertuzzi of the Vancouver Canucks was charged Thursday with assault for a sucker punch that left Colorado's Steve Moore with a broken neck and prompted widespread criticism of hockey violence. Widespread criticism of hockey violence, and then all the widespread criticism just went away as we all got ready for the playoffs. The charges, assault causing bodily harm, were announced by the Criminal Justice Branch of the Ministry of the Attorney General, Sieg Heil, in British Columbia, after an investigation that lasted 4 months. Bertuzzi was ordered to appear in provincial court July 9th. Sound like one of those kids in the fourth grade.
Stephen McKernan, go ahead. You start reading.
The
what's the phonetic sound like?
Pension? What if you had the evening news like that?
And now, Channel 53 News with Bob Bertuzzi.
Good evening. Canucks star Todd Bertuzzi?
Bertuzzi
was charged Thursday. We'll be right back. Now, the NHL suspended Bertuzzi for the final 13 games of the regular season and blah, blah, blah. Now, here's the whole thing. The point that I made at the time is, Bertuzzi, I'm sure he feels real bad about it. Why? Because he's going to get suspended. He got suspended for the final 13 games of the regular season. Gary Bettman has yet to announce what they're going to do over the long haul. He gave no indication what they're going to do in total to Bertuzzi's career. However, Bertuzzi's got bigger fish to fry now, sweetheart, because that guy's going to go in front of the Ministry of Propaganda, or whatever the hell it is up in Canada, and he's going to be standing tall before the man. And he could be in some serious trouble. Now, the assault on Steve Moore left him with a broken neck. You understand what a broken neck is, right? You can paralyze a man for the rest of his life. That's number one. Number two, Moore may never play hockey again. And number three, Bertuzzi crying like a freaking baby in front of the North American public after it all happened didn't convince me that he felt sorry. The reason why the guy feels sorry is he's never going to have a bloody hockey career, possibly. That's why he's feeling bad about it. When he did it, he was doing what you do in hockey. Understand. And don't make any mistake about it. Hockey is part and parcel this kind of thing. Don't let any guy from the NHL commissioner's office tell you we frown on that sort of thing. And don't let coaches tell you. And don't let anybody bullcrap you into thinking that this is unheard of in hockey. This is how the game of ice hockey, professional ice hockey in North America, is played. It is part of the game. It is coached from a very early age. They pretend like they don't like it. When a guy gets his neck broken and he's almost sitting in a wheelchair with a straw coming out of his face, then they say it's just shocking. But the National Hockey League not only condones this kind of behavior, it is encouraged among coaches. It is part of the way the game is played. There is a certain enforcement aspect to hockey, which I've never really been able to understand. You got to enforce what? What are you enforcing?
Well, you got to enforce that they can't, rough up your lead skater or anything like that.
Okay. So you break a guy's neck?
Well, no, but you take a stick, you hook him, run a skate across his face, something like that.
How come you sound Mexican?
I don't know.
The Mexican Hockey League announced today that they are suspending. These guys, they're all the same. I mean, it's the same thing, whether it's hockey, basketball, football. There is an illusion, and then there's the reality, folks. Just remember that. It's all a big corporation that is trying to sell you. And big corporations are fine, but I'm just saying that they have a product they're selling. Now, do you honestly believe, for instance, that when, let's say Babbo Soap says they're the number one soap in the world and 85 billion people think they're the greatest things in sliced bread and they get all the pizza stains and the sweat stains out of your husband's jockstrap, will you then buy Babbo Soap? Well, that's what they say. Well, do you believe it? Well, no. Of course, they're advertising. Exactly. When the National Hockey League says we're here with a family product and we want it to be safe and we want it to be good, it's good hard skating, but we don't, do you buy that? That we don't condone this violence? Do you buy that? Do you believe that? National Hockey League says, we don't condone violence like this. Do you believe it? I think they're liars. And here's another bunch of guys I'd love to have on my show and talk to them. But they're not going to come on my show, man. I don't play it cute with these guys, Ask Mark Cuban of those Mavericks, the Dallas Maverick basketball team. Think I came on here and kissed his rear end? I ripped into the guy, and I heard about it for weeks after. Oh, you really treated that man. I don't care. What? Since when am I supposed to kiss these guys' asses because the guy's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks? I do the same thing to Jerry Buss if I didn't like Jerry Buss, but I happen to like Jerry Buss. I admire him a great deal. I want to be him someday. I don't believe them, and I don't buy their stuff, and I don't think that they are trying to tell me that, and I don't think they have the best of intentions for America's youth, and I don't think that they believe in the D.A.R.E. program. I don't think that they believe in staying drug-free. I don't believe Shaq when he tells me to stay in school. I don't believe Kobe when he says this or that or something else, that this sneaker's good. In fact, whatever sneaker Kobe's pushing, I'm going to go barefoot. And when the National Hockey League says to me they don't believe in violence, or they don't condone the kind of violence that Todd Bertuzzi was accused of inflicting on Colorado Steve Moore, I don't believe them as far as I can pitch all of them. They're liars. They are you know what a liar is, right? They are intentionally trying to mislead you. They are intentionally speaking a misstatement, a mistruth, a non-truth, like true lies. They know full well that they like that kind of thing. If they could get away with it, they'd do it more. But because it brought such a outrageous response from the public, they decided to kind of smooth over the public relations, and they say, well, we really don't approve of it. If they approve of it, don't even worry about it. And I don't know who's listening tonight from the hockey world. Maybe a few clowns that work for the Kings. Maybe some of you duckheads down there. But if you guys think that you're kidding anybody over here at the old Phil Henry Show with this, we don't approve of this violence crap, why don't you guys get out there and skate around, hit your funny little puck in the net, and go home, okay? And if you win the Stanley Cup, try to do a better job of explaining to us exactly what the hell it is. That would help. Don't tell me I got to learn the rules of hockey either. Why don't you do a better job of telling me what the hell the rules of your stupid game are? That's number one. Number two, there ain't no ice down here in California. And number three, Bertuzzi, you too. I'm so angry about the whole thing. Sports is great. I mean, I love it. It's like dodgeball, you know? You know the movie Dodgeball? It's like we're dodging these little bullcrap balls that are being thrown at us. If you don't watch it, one of them's going to land square in your mouth. Every day it's some new sales job they're doing on you. Everybody says, I don't trust the government. Hell, I trust the government far more than I trust the National Hockey League. Far more. That's the difference between me and most people, I guess. Where most people would say, well, the government's always trying to scare you. No. I think the government, for the most part, is trying to do the best job it can. Honest to God, I do. I think it's filled with people of good intention, patriots, people who care about their country. It's a very rare thing to encounter these days, as a matter of fact. Maybe they don't always get it right. And when they don't get it right, they're called liars. They're people say they're on the take. But the NHL, the NBA, the NFL, business in America in general gets away with bloody freaking murder. Why? Because these guys are supposedly heroes. Some dumb farm boy right off the Manitoba Plains stands there with a can of moo cow milk in his hand going, I like to drink it. What about me? No, Moose. It's you. All right. Take two. I like to drink it. What about? Take three. Forget it. Send it back to the flames. Get one of them Oilers. One of those guys stands there, I say, listen, farm boy, just go out and play your hockey and don't bother me with your tears about how you nearly snapped the guy's freaking head off, man. Al-Qaeda's looking for somebody, by the way. Their last guy, he quit. He got a job at Burger King. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Margaret Gray coming up on our show, renting to single mothers. What do you think? It could be dangerous. Bobby Dooley arrested for keying a woman's car. And I got one little story here, just a little itsy-bitsy teeny story about oil for food. First of all, let's go to our phones. Jeff, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello? Yeah, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, hi, Phil.
How you doing?
Good. Did you see the picture that he had of, from the Cannes Film Festival of Orlando Bloom and Brad Pitt at all? Did you see at all anything about that?
No, sir, I did not. It was from the what?
From the Cannes Film Festival. They were there for their movie Troy?
No, sir, I did not see it.
Okay. In the picture, they're there for the movie Troy, is Orlando Bloom and Brad Pitt, and in the middle of them is Jennifer Aniston. Okay, and I think it's pretty wrong for her to squeeze into that picture. She's not in that movie. She is only on Friends. The only other movie films that I'm aware of what she made are The Good Girl and one other one I can't remember about. But she's hogging into the picture. What's that about?
Well, she's married to Brad Pitt.
Okay. But what's that? What difference is that? If the picture...
She's married to Brad Pitt. She must have been getting out of a car or something. Was she getting out of a car?
No, the picture, I'll show you what the picture is Brad Pitt and Orlando Bloom, and then she's in the middle. It looks like she's hogging in. It looks like she's hogging in.
Well, are they getting out of a car? Are they just arriving?
Well, she's in an evening dress, and he is in a tuxedo, and he is also in a suit and tie.
What do you mean he's in a tuxedo and he's also in a suit and tie?
Because he is.
Who? Brad Pitt's wearing two things?
No. Brad Pitt's in a tuxedo and Orlando Bloom's in a suit and tie.
Okay, it sounded like Brad Pitt's wearing two different clothes or something. I don't know. So where's she?
She's hogging in. In other words, they said, probably a lot of them clapped hats or ass feet, said, go ahead, man. Stand there, let's get some shots, right? Like they do?
Yeah, the paparazzi?
Yeah. And right as the cat hits the trigger on the camera, she butts in. She just goes, oh, hi, you know, sticks her face in. And
aren't you aware that Jennifer Aniston is married to Brad Pitt?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. It's possible that they were, if he's in a tux and the other guy's in a, maybe they were arriving for a dinner or a function and she's escorting her husband.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem right that she's butting in.
What difference does it make if she's butting in?
Because she's not in the movie, man.
She ain't butting in because she's not in the movie. She's there because she's...
No. This is clearly butting in. Trying to ride the glory on her husband's coattails, that's one thing. But then when you're trying to seem like you're so bitching for the room, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, okay, man. Well, thanks for making that distinction, okay?
Well, you should see what she's wearing, too.
What is she wearing?
She's wearing a dress.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's,
Yeah, I don't understand it either.
Get out of here, you flake. Yeah, he's wearing a tux and he's wearing a suit. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray coming up, renting to single mothers. Yikes.
1-800-449-8686, the world famous Phil. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret Gray joins us, nationally syndicated newspaper columnist. Her column, A Little Bird Told Me, appears in some 150 newspapers nationwide. And you've recently gotten into renting. You speculate in real estate, is that correct?
Well, we do when you say speculate, Phil, we don't buy large commercial properties. We do purchase homes. We do purchase townhomes. Apartment buildings.
And why do you do that? Obviously, real estate speculation is ultimately to make a profit.
Well, we do own them to rent. Sometimes we do flip them, what we call in real estate, flipping them or selling them. In other words, you buy it and you improve the property, then you sell it. And it's really my business. Frank is not all that interested in real estate, but I love it. It's a great business because you have the opportunity to wheel and deal. But you feel good that maybe you're providing a home for someone. And certainly in the last year, it's been fairly lucrative in California and elsewhere. You want to be able to rent to families and help them get a start, a young couple.
So you're selling
You're not selling so much as you're renting them.
That is correct, yes.
All right, I wanted to ask you, today we see more and more single-parent homes, a father or a mother, a single parent with one or more children. Are you seeing more renters like that?
Yes, I have seen that. I've seen a few, and I have to be honest with you, I'm very careful with them.
Why is that?
Well, I'll tell you why. First of all, you don't see a lot of single fathers with custody of their children. When you do, you know, your heart goes out to them a little bit. A father alone with his children, and of course he's working, but I worry a little more about the single mother, as do many landlord owners or rental agents.
Why?
Well, it's a little bit of a horse of a different color. Single mothers present a little bit of a different challenge. If I'm renting, I need to be assured that the financial situation is secure. When you're a single mother of, let's say, two or more children, and it's a little difficult to ask, but you want to find out if the children are all from the same man, and I'll tell you why.
You ask them if the children are all from the same man. You know, that reminds me of my sister was actually babysitting some kids, and somebody wanted to know, are those your kids, or are they all the same father?
Well, it's not a question you ask to insult anyone. When you see a single mother with two or more children, it is a logical question to ask, are these all children from the same man? And I'll tell you why. In terms of making sure the rent is met, it is not likely that she's getting child support. If, for instance, she's in the habit of sleeping with different men, it's none of my business, but it does create a lack of consistency. The other consideration is...
Well, if a woman is the mother of children who are the children of more than one man, you're making the assumption that she's in the habit of sleeping with a lot of different men?
It is something you need to consider. A single mother with children, all of these things you have to consider. And no, it's not a question you'd like to ask, no. But
what was the other consideration?
Well, most of these single mothers generally are in the service industry as cocktail waitresses, food servers. They work takeout windows. And if the job is minimum wage and they rely on their tips, if they are a husky-looking young lady or they haven't had great dental care or any of this sort of thing, it will be tough. Again, my responsibility is to make sure the rent is paid.
And so if she's relying on tip money...
If she's relying on tip money, that's something else you have to think of when renting to single mothers.
Margaret Gray joins us. We're talking about renting. I find this interesting, talking about single mothers and the hazards of renting to single mothers. Are they sleeping with a lot of different men, I guess, is the question, because
it is not a moral question, Phil. It has to do with whether they're able to make the rent if they're getting child support. It's doubtful if they're getting child support if they're sleeping with... As I said, if they're sleeping with a lot of men, I don't know the responsibility there.
And also if they have service industry jobs. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Single mothers with children are a little bit tougher to rent to. Aren't you kind of profiling here? Let me ask you.
Well, no, Phil, we're not.
No, let me ask you. When you're renting townhomes financially... It's a bit of a step up. The women, the single mothers that will want to rent from you might not be cocktail waitresses or something like that, right?
Well, that is true, but then when it comes to single mothers, you have other considerations as well. You have your other renters to consider. You want to look out for their comfort and their well-being, and to, you know, you look, the look of, the you know, some of my renters, a single mother is a woman who obviously is looking at some point for a man. And I don't want to rent to a woman who's going to be a threat to someone's marriage, what we used to call a home wrecker. I don't want a woman who is, you know, casting around and looking at other women's husbands. You move a single mother into a townhome development where there are a lot of...
Let me interrupt you here, Margaret, could I?
Certainly.
It sounds to me like you're profiling these women. In other words, you're saying, like, what a lot of people used to say about black people. Well, you know, they do this... And they do that.
No, it's totally different. Phil, that it is. It's an unfair comparison.
Well, wait a minute. I don't want to rent to a black guy. Why? Well, because they're lazy and this and that.
No, that is wrong. You're absolutely a single mother. It is not racism because we're talking about women that could be of any different ethnic persuasion. In other words, this is true of single mothers, whether they're black, white, brown, yellow, gray, or what have you. So no, it's entirely not the same thing.
All right, isn't it unfair, though, to single mothers to say that their intent is to steal some woman's husband? You know.
Well, what, I'll tell you what's unfair is if you rent to one of these single mothers, and to be nice, you didn't charge her a security deposit. And in the case of this one mother that we rented to, she had two children. The carpeting near the front door was basically threadbare as the result of a parade of men going in and out of the townhouse. And I know it sounds harsh.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, if you've got four children...
No, I know it sounds... A woman can do whatever she wants. Either they're entertaining men at some unreasonable hour, or to comfort themselves, they let the kids sleep in the bed with them, and the room begins to smell. You can't get the smell out of the drapes. The carpeting suffers. We had this one mother who rented from us, and the child was a bedwetter. And it took six steam cleans to get the stink out. And I can tell you...
All right, look, if I can... No!
I can tell you, Phil, this doesn't have anything to do with profiling, though. Because, again, profiling is racism. And even for you to bring that up...
I don't mean to offend you, Ms. Gray.
But I think it does send the wrong message when you bring that up.
No, I don't mean to... And I'm not trying to send a message that you're a racist. I just simply asked if you say that single mothers... Now, you're saying that the carpeting in this house was threadbare because, quote, of a parade of men coming... I mean, isn't that a little harsh?
You know what, Phil? As the man said, I make them. I don't repair them, you know. Is it harsh? Yes. Is it true? Yes. She's a single mother looking for an active social life. In this particular instance, the other couples in the complex certainly wanted to befriend her. But it's obvious when the woman is alone and you are a married woman and you see this single woman move in, it's obvious that she's casting around looking to sink a hook into one of the men there, whether they're married or not. The people in this complex would have none of it. And so, sure enough, it didn't take long, but you could almost clock it. Within probably 2 weeks, there was a tournament of roses parade going in and out of her place, a parade of men, along with the four children. Now, I don't judge what a woman does. It ruined the carpeting, the stench in the drapes, the stench in the bathroom. The mattress was destroyed by the bedwetting. All of this is something you have to take into consideration.
Are you taking a bath?
I am, Phil. Forgive me, but Frank and I are leaving. We have an 11 o'clock flight. We're going to Austria.
And really?
Yes, and we're very excited about it. So if you don't mind me multitasking...
No, I can hear you taking a bath. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray joins us from her home in Santa Monica, and we're talking about renting to single mothers. You don't want to be cruel, but renting to single mothers, if you are a owner, landlord, is hazardous. Now, she's mentioned some things. You don't want to rent to a single mother because she's maybe looking for a man, and other women find that threatening. There's a parade of men coming in and out of the house. She may be a cocktail jockey. She may be... There's a few things here that sounded to me like a profiling situation. Nonetheless, single mothers have got it tough. And they certainly are looking for a place to live that's safe, clean, good schools, like anybody else. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're back with Margaret Gray. Ms. Gray is not only a newspaper writer, she's also a landlord. She rents to a lot of families in townhomes. Where are most of these, by the way?
We have a lot of very beautiful units, Phil, out in the Pasadena area. It's a wonderful area, good schools.
So naturally, single mothers are going to want to go out there.
Well, mothers... families are going to want to go out there. My priority are the families, the nuclear families. A single mother, I will look at them when they come to rent, and I don't make any bones about it. I will look them square in the eye, and I will say to them, you are to stay away from the men in this complex. They are married men. And I really don't want to hear about you trying to get your hooks into any of them. Now, if you agree to that, I will look at the rest of your application. So you pin them to the wall pretty quick.
Even women you just met?
I'm sorry?
Even women you just met?
You have to be clear. Otherwise, you're going to be in for a world of... There's the possibility of venereal disease. Palimony suits.
All right, okay. Let me just get to some phone calls. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Lynn, hello. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I'd like to make a point in regards to the fact about single parents. I happen to be a single parent, and I am a career person. I actually am a homeowner, but the point I'd like to make, first of all, is that single parents, single moms or dads, are generally the hardest working people in the industries. Reason being is because they don't have the luxury of a second income.
Well, you're profiling. Therefore, now. You're profiling, and I don't think you can do that.
And actually, so have you been. So in fairness, yes, I am.
That's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
Well, no,
actually, I live that life, and I happen to work in the real estate industry also. I have worked in mortgage and in escrow for the last 10 years.
Well, then you know what I'm talking about. You know that first of all, single mothers, I'm not trying to say anything other than you've got to...
Okay, no, you have made the point that single mothers with children that have multiple children with different parents are basically, or what you were saying, are loose, and that they have bad morals. Well, I actually have three children, one of which is from a prior relationship whom I was married to.
Well, that's my point.
And,
that's my point.
Well, no, but you know what? You were generalizing, and so in fairness, let me share this.
Yeah, let the lady talk.
But she's admitting to what I'm saying. You know, multiple partners.
Sure.
Well, she
sure,
was married okay. more. You were married more than once, right, Jay Lynn?
Yes, I'm actually in a relationship. I'm married now again,
right.
I was married. I have only been with very limited people, so therefore I don't fall into your loose category. And it actually is very insulting because I work in the same industry you do and actually probably make just as much, if not more, money than you do.
Jay, I'm not saying that you don't work hard. I totally understand.
Right. But
and
what
I,
you're
I,
saying
I also
is...
admire you. I admire you for going out, for rising above what you, you know, in essence, you've risen above what you are to become a homeowner. But these other women who are renters, looking around for every man in the complex, coming out to the pool, going over to the Coke machine,
you're basically saying, though, that because I'm a single mother that I'm going to be gallivanting around looking for men in your complex if you were to rent to me, which is totally ludicrous.
There is
because you know what? Listen. That is totally ludicrous because you know what? Just because you are a single parent does not make you a whore. Therefore, that does not...
Well, okay. You know,
that
whatever
is,
you
that
say.
Is,
look,
that is
you,
not,
get, you say you've been married twice.
How old are you?
You say you've been married twice. How did you meet the current husband?
How did I meet him?
Yes.
Actually, I went to high school with him.
Well...
So does that make me
were you date? Were you dating before him?
Excuse me? No, actually, I didn't.
Well, like I say, you're a homeowner, so I don't think we can judge single women on you.
No, but she's saying that when she was a renter, she wasn't loose.
But I was a renter.
Yeah, when she was a renter, she wasn't loose.
No, she didn't say that. She said when she was a renter, she had multiple children by multiple partners. Now she's owning.
Okay.
Okay.
But you know what? I think you're missing the point. The point is that you have generalized...
All right.
You have generalized that single parents are... loose, incapable of holding down a family lifestyle.
Have you ever worked takeout?
No. Well, actually, I take that back. When I was 15, I did.
Right. Well, that doesn't count. But
all right, look, Jaylen, I think you've made some good points. I'm going to move on. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Barbara. Barbara, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, hi, Barbara.
Ma'am, may I ask you, please, to cover up? I mean, I really don't like this picture, and I'm not certain our viewers do either, of you flailing around naked in the bathtub. While discussing how other women that have had a bad relationship and had to divorce and remarry are that.
Have you been drinking?
No, ma'am, I don't drink.
Have you had a stroke recently?
I had a stroke on February 17th, 2003.
All right. There's still a little bit of paralysis in the tongue, isn't there?
All right. Well, we don't have to point that out, do we?
No, I just wondered what...
Well, I do have physical therapy, I am a med student now.
I'm the host of the show, Barbara. You're fine. Go ahead with your comments.
Thank you.
Well, I just noticed some slurring.
Go ahead, Barbara.
And I noticed the flailing in the bladder. That is just so
rude. You've got a real imagination, and I'm beginning to be very uncomfortable.
Well, you said you were in the bathtub.
I'm very uncomfortable with your comments.
I'm uncomfortable with yours, ma'am.
What have I said? You're noticing that I'm... What, are you imagining my naked body in the water? I mean...
Oh, come on. Ladies, can't we get past this?
Well, she wants to comment on my body.
On the point when you stated that that incontinent child needed to be shunned away. That is such a sad, pathetic way of being.
Have you quit fantasizing about me in order for me to go over this?
Just forget about what she said.
I don't fantasize about you.
I said that a single mother certainly has it very difficult, but as a landlord, I must take into consideration the fact that she'll have men parading in and out of there at all hours. I have other people...
How so?
I'm sorry? I own a duplex in Altadena, one half of a very lovely couple, the Walkers. The other I rented to this Julia Beckett, who was a single mother, three children. I'm very concerned. She sent over some... bacon to the Walkers that is are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Or is your nurse there?
No, actually, my son just came up to me and spoke to me. He's a little more important.
Who? Your son?
Yes, he's 23.
So you were able to have children even though you're paralyzed?
I'm not paralyzed.
Well, you said that the whole left side of your face was paralyzed.
Didn't say that. She didn't say it at all. Listen, Barbara, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. I don't want to keep harping on anybody's maladies.
Phil, she commented on the fact that I'm taking a bath, and I apologize to your listeners. I'm trying to, as I said, multitask. I have a son that I have to get over to his uncle's house tonight. Frank and I are leaving for Austria. I did promise to be on your program. When you have a woman calling in, I'd like to stick to the point. I'd rather not have women calling in and fantasizing about me taking a bath. I'm trying to get clean. I'm not here propping my legs on the tile wall with the faucet running.
Okay, come on. Can we just please stick to the point here? 1-800-449-8686. Single mothers, are they a good person to rent to? Margaret Gray says, unfortunately, no, they're not. It has a lot to do with their morals and the kinds of jobs they have. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
That ain't cucumber dressing.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
With me is Margaret Gray, the nationally syndicated newspaper columnist about single mothers renting and how it is a hazard to rent to single mothers. And again, you're in the middle of your bath there, Margaret. We don't want to take up too much of your time.
No, it's fine, Phil. I wanted to thank you and your listeners' indulgence is appreciated. Can I mention a story from my childhood, which I think is going to go a long way toward people recognizing really why I'm right about single mothers? My mother, Brenda, was a single mother. My brother and I grew up without a father until I was in my early teens, and my brother, John, was 8 or 9 years of age. And it is difficult to tell other people that had normal childhoods what it's like to grow up with a mother where every night you could hear squeaking bed springs and laughter and the clinking of glasses and more squeaking bed springs. This was terribly traumatic for me. My mother loved to drink Courvoisier. To this day, I hate Courvoisier. And if anyone tries to serve it at a party, we had a party catered for my niece when she was married. And I told the caterer, I said, If you bring Quilvasia into my home, I will get violent. I won't just ask you to leave. I will get violent.
All right, so you were traumatized, okay?
But I had a single mother. You understand? And this is why I had a call from Jim Riley, who this gal, who was a single mother, had moved in. She's leaning against the door jamb saying, have you got change for the washing machines? This is what they do, and I raced right over there. As soon as I heard from Jim, I got in the car, I raced over, and there she was, lying by the pool with all of her bleached hair. These are the things I'm trying to say.
All right, 1-800, let me just get into some phone calls here. 1-800-449-8686, and again, I understand your childhood experience. Talk about single mothers are a hazard to rent to. Is it Surinder?
Yes.
Yes, sir, you're on the air on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, actually, I have a question for this lady. Like, first of all, I want to ask, is she a single or is she the...
I'm married.
You're married?
Yes.
Okay, like, what's the main reason for you to, like, tell people that, like, it's not right? Like, why
right, were you listening to the show, sir?
Me?
Were you listening to the show?
Yeah.
Okay, then you should have all the answers to those questions.
Okay.
What's your comment?
My comment is, like, why is she sitting, like, single?
No, I'd like to answer his question.
No, we don't. If the man was listening to the hour, he knows the answer to those questions.
No. Okay, I have another question. Why is she treating a single mom
okay,
or
sir,
single
if you listen,
dad?
Sir, if you listen to the hour, then you have the answer to those questions, but thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Vanessa, go ahead.
Thanks, Phil. I appreciate your show, and I just wanted to say, Margaret, I am sorry that you had a traumatic upbringing. You are speaking to a single mother who has raised an 18-year-old daughter who has just been accepted to a UC university under honors.
Are you a renter?
I am a renter, and I unfortunately, like 90%, if not more, single parents who work extremely hard would rather not be single parents, but this is the lot in life that has been dealt to us, and we work very hard, and for you to sit there and say that you don't want to profile, you are being hypocritical, because that's all you have done since you've been on this show, because I've been listening for the last 45 minutes, is you have profiled people and put them into a category, and that, my dear, is very prejudiced. Single mothers and single fathers work their tail off to give their children of a lifestyle that they try to be mother and father, and you sit there bombarding the conversation with antics that are not logistic nor factual.
Hold on for a minute. What is she saying, Vanessa, that isn't factual? The statement that single mothers are cocktail jockeys, this kind of thing?
Yes. Or? Absolutely, that they're whores, that they come in and out of their apartments, and that they track places in and out. Darling, my apartment is used by my property managers to do financing annual assessments for their increases for their property.
How many jobs do you have right now, Vanessa?
I have one job. I work for a university.
Okay.
And I'm going for my master's degree.
When you are there at your apartment complex, you're trying to tell me you're not flirting with the men in the building?
Absolutely not.
Oh,
I am raising a daughter.
Oh, my God.
Well, are you calling her a liar?
Well, she just said she doesn't want to be single.
I choose not to be single, but I also chose to prioritize my life when I became a single parent to raise my daughter to do the best job and then become whatever life allowed me to become. But my first priority is to be a parent.
Have you ever had the dean over for dinner?
Hold on, can I ask, what is the sound?
It would be inappropriate, and if I would, I would be going over to a function where he and his wife would be among several other couples or adults.
Right. Vanessa, hold on. What is that? Margaret, what is that?
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm drying my hair. If you want me to stop?
Yes, it would be nice if you'd stop.
We have a plane to catch. I'm sorry. Vanessa, first of all, if your 18-year-old daughter were here, I'm sure she'd tell me that she had quite a few, shall we say, uncles. I am not putting you down for that. A woman's got to survive. Believe me, sister.
Margaret, there has not been one man in my apartment for 18 years. It wasn't my brother from biological brother, my friends from church, or...
Can you turn the hair dryer off, please?
So you are assuming a lot. And you know what the word assume means broken down when you take out you and me.
Well, what do you mean you don't have men coming over? Are you not Do you not prefer men? I mean, I could very
I
well
prefer
be-
men. I desire to be married, but as I've stated, listen clearly. People are listening to you. I'm asking you the same thing in return.
Go right ahead.
My priority is to raise my daughter. I wake up at 5:45 every morning. I do my reading. I get my daughter's breakfast. I help her get ready for the day. I take her to school. I then go to work. I work until 6 o'clock at night. I drive home. I do her dinner. I spend time with my daughter when I'm not doing homework because, as you hopefully
heard
earlier...
Well, but let me ask you the obvious question. Did she sleep in the same bed with you? Were you one of these women that needed to have someone for comfort?
No, we live in a two-bedroom, wonderful apartment in San Diego, California with wonderful landlords, and I have been here for 10 years.
Do you have complaints about the smell when she was younger? When she was younger?
Absolutely. Absolutely not. When you give a child a bath and
you haven't had a man in 18 years, you must spend a lot of time in the market looking at the people.
There are no problems.
Did you hear what I just said?
No, I did not. I was answering your
question. If you haven't had a man...
Well, I heard what you said, and I don't think it's appropriate.
Phil, if she hasn't had a man in 18 years, she's probably spent a lot of time in the market looking at the pickles.
Aren't you funny? Aren't you funny?
Darling, I am going for my master's degree. Are you a parent?
I most certainly am. I have a wonderful son who is an aspiring actor.
Will you turn the hairdryer off, please?
Correct. You know what it takes to raise a child.
I do. It takes a man as well as a woman and a stable income and not someone who is going to raise eyebrows around the complex because your jeans are cut off a little short and there's no bra under the halter top.
You know what, darling?
Unfortunately,
all right, a very small population. One bad apple does not spoil the whole tree.
Well, that's true, but the smell of dill must send you to the moon.
Are wonderful.
All right, Vanessa, thank you very much, and I have no doubt that in your case that's absolutely true. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. And
did you hear what I said?
What?
The smell of dill must send her to the moon. What do you think of that, Greg?
I find it very offensive. That lady made a number of very wonderful points about a lot of hardworking women. She doesn't have all kinds of men taking for the. Right now, saying something. Jerry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I think this lady is very disrespectful. She's on the line with a hairdryer and got nerve to judge the single women. Who, where she coming from? And how in the world she going to tell the woman that buy a pickle? She must be using a pickle herself.
You know,
number one. Let me tell you something, young ladies. I'm 52 years old. I raised four kids up by myself, worked four jobs raising them up. Never had no problem with my teenage girls.
Well,
I didn't have no problem with boys running through my house, neither men.
When you are renting...
No, let me finish talking.
Go right ahead. Do you mind if I dry my hair?
Yes, I do mind.
All right, then I won't. I'll walk out with hay hair. Thank you very much.
Well, you need to, because you disrespect the host. And the other person that called before me, you disrespect them too.
I don't remember.
Just go ahead, Jerry. You're go ahead because you're making some good points.
Let me tell you something. I have three girls and one boy, and never one of my girls can say they have seen men in my house. I never had problems with my teenage girls being boys in the house or even my phone ringing 24/7. I never had that.
It's because
I prayed and taught them the right way.
Jerry,
and I
when I was a little girl,
I would live in your a house town for nothing
Letter?
In the world.
Okay,
because
Jerry?
You is a slut yourself.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm a married
woman. Yes, you are, because if you got a nerve to call single women those names, you're talking about yourself.
Jerry.
What's coming out your mouth? That's exactly what you are.
All right, hold on, Jerry. I want to let Margaret respond.
Jerry, I'm just going to say this. When I was a little girl, I saw a cartoon.
You must have
now, may I finish? Is the host there? Is the host there?
Hold on. All right, Jerry, let her finish.
When I was a little girl, I saw a cartoon. It was a Daffy Duck cartoon. And he had a cousin visit from the South who was African-American, and you sound like him.
All right.
Ben, I want to tell you something.
Sounds
you
like a Black Daffy Duck.
You sound worse than he does.
Jerry, because if you were that busy with two jobs and raising four kids, the Lord Almighty, I bet you were hanging around a cow tongue.
There's no way that I would get on the phone in a bathtub. Disrespect the host by drying my hair while he's talking. That's so disrespectful.
No kidding.
Until
no kidding. That's a great point.
Then you can talk to the Sangaremus, okay?
What was Daffy Duck's black cousin named?
I think it was David Duck or something like that. Or Duriel Duck.
Duriel Duck.
Yes.
Jerry,
For you to call people cowtons or pick at that lady because she had a stroke, who you think you are? Are you Bo or something?
Look, Jerry, I don't have the luxury of a weave. I have to dry my hair. You'll look pardon.
Well, you must
I
be
bid you adieu. There, it's dry.
Jerry, I think you made some great points. Sorry you've been disrespected tonight. Ms. Gray, you've disrespected an awful lot of people. And
I don't see how, Phil.
Well, you have. And I think that you owe it to my listeners to at least give single women the benefit of the doubt that they have a very tough lot in life.
I have to keep drying my hair. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Frank, send me the dryer.
Anyway, as I was saying...
Oh, no, Frank, I'm in the bathtub!
Can I ask you, does she have daughters?
I've lost connection to the line, Jerry. What was your question?
I was wondering, does she have daughters?
I think she only has the son.
That's her problem.
Yeah.
Because she don't have daughters to love.
This is
true. She just...
Well, I don't know who she's loving now. I'm quite sure
the way she's talking. She must be was talking about herself, about the pickles and stuff, because that was so disrespectful.
Well, it was absolutely disgusting. Yes, Ms. Gray?
I just want to ask Jerry, before you go, hold your cheeks back and say I was born on a pirate ship.
You must was gotten to say you were born on a pirate ship.
Listen, Jerry, thank you so much for your call.
Okay, thank you.
I thought you got electrocuted in that bathtub. Hello?
Yes, I did too.
Get out of here.
Well, you're the one making me do the stuff that...
What do you mean, hold your cheeks back and say I was born on a pirate ship? What's that going to sound like? 1-800-44... Oh, I get it. 1-800-449...
I'm just drying my hair.
Get out of here, bud. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
You would stick an ice pick into a baby to save a cougar in a bush.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
There's a teacher down in Florida. Her name is Gwendolyn Toes Rigel or Rigel. She's a principal at Emma E. Booker Elementary School. And she was the teacher in a classroom full of, I think they were third graders, as they were reading stories. And they were reading stories to President Bush, who was visiting on that day. It was September the 11th of 2001. Now, in Fat Ass's movie, he criticizes Bush for staying and listening to these second graders rather than just running out of the room and getting right on the 9/11 problem. And this teacher, who said she did not vote for Bush, she said he helped us get through that day because I remember him being very calm and collected for the children. Now, anybody that's ever been around children and cares about kids... You know that they pick up on your mood, whether you are conscious of it or not. They will pick up on your mood unless you are really, really cool about it. They know when mommy and daddy have had a fight. They know when things aren't good, man. What you want to do is make sure they can get through their day because they're kids and they got to live and they have to, you know, they have the things that they need to take care of. And you want to make sure that they're okay with all of the things that they need to take care of, that they feel confident and comfortable and everybody's taking care of them. Kids need to know that the adults around them have got their crap together, in other words. They really need to know that. They really need to trust that the adults around them know what's up because they sure as hell don't. They intrinsically know that they don't. even though they want to stick their hand in the fire and they want that big thing of candy, they know that the big people here are here for a reason. They're here to help them see what's up. And the president that day decided to remain calm and listen to the children for another 7 whole minutes. Now, fat ass, among the many low blows and among the many utterly baseless little shots that he takes, he criticizes the president for hanging for 7 minutes while he listened to these children finish their stories, even though he had just been told the worst attack in the history of our country had taken place on our soil. He was trying to remain calm for these children, being a father himself. Fat ass thinks that 7 minutes could have made the difference in what? Catching Osama and not? Maybe if we would have those 7 minutes back, huh, fat ass? We would have grabbed towel wrapper there, and the two of you guys could be doing a dance together right now, because after all, you're kind of a fan of his, aren't you? Oh, no, wait a minute. That was 2002. Now you don't like him. Is that it? It's hard to keep track of you, man, and you'd think anybody keep track of you. Man, hell, they'd pick you up on a freaking U2 satellite. Keeping track of you shouldn't be that tough. This teacher, Ms. Toews-Rigel, said, "I did not vote for the president, but that day I would have voted for him. He helped us get," and I'm quoting, "he helped us get through a very difficult time, and he helped us better understand what was happening." This is a teacher of second graders on President Bush, the day that the 9/11 attacks took place. He stayed and he listened to those children. See, he's a father. He understands, as I do, as anybody who gives a crap about kids understand, you don't want to run out with a panic. The kids pick up on that stuff. Fat ass, of course, he uses that to criticize the president. Boy, the only thing that guy would stoop lower for is probably a quarter. Phil Henry Show.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
It was 1 year ago, last week actually, that we had Ms. Bobby Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association on our program. She'd lost her son in a drunk driving accident, and we wanted to have you on and talk about your feelings losing kids to this kind of tragedy. It's not easy. It happens to every generation. And I suppose the first question would be is, how are you holding up?
We're not thinking about Dylan, and of course, on Thursday it was the anniversary of our losing him, and all day, of course, I was just so low. I was turning out of, actually, the Sherman Oaks Fashion Center on Ventura Boulevard, and the woman in a red Mercedes convertible was in the right turn lane. She didn't have any turn signal on, and I'm thinking, she's going straight, but instead she turns when the light turns green right in front of me. And then she takes off down Ventura, and when that happened, it was almost as if God was speaking to me, because I was thinking so much of Dylan, and at that moment it was as if God was saying, look around you at the world, at how ignorant people can be. And
that's an interesting observation.
Yeah, so I followed her. I turned down Ventura and I followed her.
You followed her? The woman that she didn't have a signal on, and then she turned even without the signal?
Yes, and she turns into Gelson's, and I followed her into the lot, and she parks, and all the while, I don't think she's paying one bit of attention to me. And all I could do is, I was thinking of my son Dylan, so I parked my car a couple of rows over. Now, this woman, while I was thinking of my son who had died, my son died, Phil, no one should ever bury a child.
I understand that.
So I had on me a Swiss Army knife, a little red Swiss Army knife that Dylan had given me for Mother's Day when he was 8 years old. And I took it out of my purse, and I went up to her car, and I started right around the front right panel, and I just dragged the blade across the door.
Oh, boy.
Now, listen to me. I dragged the blade across the door, the rear panel, along the upper side of the trunk, down along the left rear panel. I even did a couple of little loop-de-loops, and then along the driver's door, and I finished on the hood.
So what you're telling me is you were thinking where you must have been angry about your son.
You know something, Phil?
I mean, you keyed this woman's car, this Mercedes?
She was so unconscious and so insensitive and so self-absorbed and ambivalent that she's turning right without a signal in front of me and then just driving along. Now, 2 hours later, my youngest boy answers the door, Seth. Two Los Angeles police officers are there.
Okay, so someone saw you, huh?
Well, I could feel my heart race. My husband answered the door. Long story short, they're going to take me to Van Nuys Division.
You were arrested.
She saw me do it from the Gelsons. I explained to the police that it's the anniversary of my son's death, and they still had to book me. They took fingerprints and a picture. And I've been told that we have a court date. Now, our attorney, who's worked with several celebrities, tells me that I could get community service. And I asked him what that was. He says it's picking up garbage on a freeway and washing police cars. And, of course, I almost blacked out when I'm listening to this. And my husband says that she's the mother of three boys. She's the president of our homeowners association. She's the president of our PTO. And this attorney tells Steve, well, that may be the case, but she may still have to do community service.
Well, let me interrupt you, Ms. Dooley. You drag a Swiss Army knife blade along the paint of a woman's Mercedes.
She was this blonde with the candy apple red Mercedes convertible. She's some 20-something, stick-thin, surgically enhanced, you know, B-word, excuse my language. And on the day, a year later, that my boy died, she's running around not signaling.
But the point is you broke the law.
Well, community service means you're in an orange jumpsuit on the freeway picking up garbage, and that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I've written a letter to the judge.
No. Well, hold on for a minute, Bobby. The tragedy of your son's death fully realized in me and anybody that heard about it. But you drag a knife along.
I'm not getting into an orange jumpsuit as if I'm some alcoholic DUI or a gangster from one of these gangs. I keyed the Mercedes. I didn't key someone's Chevrolet. It wasn't someone's Ford. I didn't key a Buick. I keyed a Mercedes. That's a car that is begging for it. And
well, you can't say that either, because you got a lot of people out there who have Mercedes Benzes. And it's not that I'm not sensitive to your loss, but you know,
if the driver had done something so inexcusable, look, Phil, people who drive Mercedes who are that age, 20-something, they haven't really worked for that car, a sugar daddy bought it or a husband.
Well, I don't know that you can say that, okay?
Well, I did write this letter to the judge.
Well, hold on for a minute. I'm going to give our phone number out. You know, to say that we're talking about the death of your son, that you purposefully keyed someone's car. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley is with us.
You remember the day that my son died, correct?
Yes, I do.
You remember what that did to my family?
Yes, I do.
And you are going to sit there and judge me because I keyed, and excuse my language, I keyed some whore's car.
Look, I know losing your son was a bad thing. Okay.
I keyed some whore's car, and you're judging me.
I'm not judging you. I'm saying it's difficult for me to support someone who breaks the law.
And how did I break the law?
It's called vandalism. It's called the damaging of public property.
Well, you know as well as I do that the law can certainly show mercy. And there is a thing called justice and mercy. And I think any judge would look at what I did and say, you know what, it's understandable. You were upset about your son. This B-word, this B-I-T-C-H, did what she did.
Well, you know something, you're talking about her. She turned right without signaling. I don't know, you know.
This is an unconscious act of another motorist that is going to get somebody killed.
All right, well, read, what is the letter that you wrote to the court? Our number, 1-800-449-8686. You have written a letter to the court to request leniency in this case.
Yes, I have.
Go ahead.
This is to the municipal court in the Van Nuys Division. Dear sir, my son Dylan was taken from me by a drunk driver a year ago this month. The court has my arrest record before it and the police record of my actions. I ask the court to consider that I am a mother of three boys, I'm a wife, an active member in my community, and that if the court sees fit to remand me into community service, I will be humiliated before the eyes of my friends, neighbors, and peers. I ask the court to realize that should my punishment include community service, the court will be very, 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 very sorry and will be making a very serious mistake. I ask the court to consider that my father, Robert Marchetti, is a member of the Judicial Review Board. Thank you, Bobby Dooley.
All right, I don't think that's a good idea.
Why?
I don't think threatening the court...
I am not threatening the court.
Well, you're saying it's going to be a very, very, very bad idea and that your father's with the Judicial Review Board.
It's going to be a very bad idea. I'm stating the obvious.
You're stating the obvious of what? That if the court sees fit to give you community service for running your, not a key, a Swiss Army knife along the paint of a Mercedes-Benz that had somehow made a mistake in traffic, that they're going to see fit to give you leniency in this case?
Absolutely. I'm stating the obvious. I'm saying if they find me guilty and give me community service, they're going to wish that they hadn't got out of bed that morning. And
see, that's a threat.
No, it isn't.
How do you say that's a threat, Mr. Henry?
It sounds like a threat to me.
It is not a threat. It is stating the very obvious. They will be sorry.
Why will they be sorry if they give you community service and they put you in an orange jumpsuit?
Because, Phil, it will be a very serious mistake. I'm the president of our homeowners association. I'm the president of our PTO. My son died.
We lost our son, Mr. Henry.
Mr. Dooley, there is no one more conscious of that than me. I had you on the air the day that it happened.
I think you'd have more sensitivity.
I just think it sounds like a threat.
What part sounds like a threat?
You're going to be very, 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 very sorry, and I ask you to consider that my father, Robert Marchetti, is a member of the Judicial Review Board.
Phil, when a whore...
Please don't call that motorist a whore.
She's a blonde with a candy apple red Mercedes. What do you call that?
I don't know what you call. You don't call her a whore.
Excuse me, when a whore makes a right turn without a signal in front of me, and then speeds off into her Gelson's parking lot, as if she doesn't even know I exist, and doesn't know that my son died. Guess what? Out comes the Swiss Army. Dylan gave me that Swiss Army knife for a reason. He was my youngest. He was my baby.
You think your boy gave you that Swiss Army knife so you could drag it along the paint of someone's Mercedes?
I think that... In his little mind, yeah, Mommy would need it someday for that, yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. A bereaved mother on the anniversary of a son's death, an impulse to key, or in her case, run a Swiss Army knife along someone's Mercedes-Benz, and an inevitable arrest by the Los Angeles police. It all comes down to her feeling she's entitled to leniency and that the woman deserved it. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
I do the splits over an egg, then I do a somersault into an open watermelon.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
You know, losing a son is a terrible thing. In the case of my guest, Bobby Dooley, losing your son a year ago prompted you to remember him today, and not today, but last week, and key someone's car.
Can I interrupt you, Phil?
Yeah.
I really don't appreciate you saying losing a son is a terrible thing.
Why?
Because you've never lost a son, so you don't really know what it's like. And
Ms. Dooley, I'm showing you a little bit of empathy here. I have four children.
But you haven't lost any of them, so please don't. You know, I know you mean well, but you don't understand that I had a full right. I would have had a full right to take an acetylene torch to that woman's car.
You had a right to take an acetylene torch to someone's car because she didn't signal on a right-hand turn?
My son died.
Our son died.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lori, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley is my guests. Lori?
Yes, hey. How are you doing?
Fine, ma'am.
You know, I've been in the same situation with a child losing a 10-year-old to a medical ailment, but... you know, before he died, he gave me a rock painted in the shape of a heart. That doesn't give me the right, when I'm angry and see a healthy child or someone angers me, to take that rock and use it to vandalize someone or hurt someone else. Just because you lose a child, that doesn't give you the right to do that.
Well, but it was different for me because you lost your child to a medical. My child was killed in a drunk driving accident. He was healthy, in other words.
And I understand that, but...
Wait a minute.
How does that... I don't understand.
But still losing a child, man. The circumstances
don't
matter.
Well, her child hurt her if she'd taken better care of her child.
Who?
No. No, he had a congenital heart defect.
Well,
he had undergone a heart transplant.
Did you go to a doctor and get him checked out?
Ms. Dooley, I don't think...
Yes, ma'am. He had the finest care available. So please don't imply that by any means.
Something you didn't do.
Wait a minute. Hold on just a minute.
Now you're out of line.
You know, exactly.
If that boy had been better taken care of, and I...
Wait a second. Now, I want to say something here. Nobody's blaming you for the death of your son. You shouldn't be blaming Lori for the death of her son. That's nuts.
I'm not blaming anyone for the death. I'm blaming the drunk driver that killed my son. That's who I'm blaming.
Well, then the thing is, why didn't you better protect him? If you're saying, you know, it's my fault because of the medical condition...
How dare you say that I was responsible.
You know, it's the hand that God deals you.
Lori,
you have to accept that.
I understand, but if you hadn't been smoking during your pregnancy, your boy would have been healthy.
I don't smoke, and I have never smoked, and I've never drank in my life. So don't make assumptions that aren't true.
Yeah, can I get on? Ms. Dooley, quit trying to lay the blame of this woman's child on her. Nobody's trying to blame you for the death of your child.
Well, of course you wouldn't blame me. I didn't kill my son.
What? You know, what you have to do is you have to set a good example for the children you have left. What kind of example would it be for my other son if I just got angry at the world and went out and did everything and nothing was my fault, I could do whatever I want because of it? That's the example you're setting for your children. And sadly, if you keep doing that, your children are going to wind up on the other side of the law like you are now.
Did you use thalidomide for morning sickness?
No, ma'am, I did not.
You come on with this!
Ma'am, I have never taken a drug in my life. I have never smoked a cigarette in my life. I have never had a drink in my life.
Have you taken aspirin? Have you taken...
Will you forget about what caused her little boy to die? Her little boy died, that's bad enough, okay?
You just have the blame everybody else syndrome. It's not your fault. And that's not right.
Well, if you're saying that it wasn't your fault, then yes, you are fully within your rights to take that rock and throw it through the windshield of the doctor.
You are not.
No, you're not.
So anyone who you ever wronged in your life,
Mr. Henry,
you know, you didn't trip your paper boy enough. That gives him the right to throw the paper through your picture window.
I'm saying, Mr. Henry, you don't have a right to be in this conversation. Lori and I are talking. We've both buried children.
He has every right to be in this conversation.
No,
he invited us to discuss it.
Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about, though. He thinks
You know when you continually accuse me of things that you know nothing about. But I didn't call to argue with you because I know the loss you feel.
Oh, of course, thank you.
I called to tell you, you know, I called to tell you that it's... Your actions, you still have to live for your other children.
Okay.
Forget your son, and I'm not saying to do that.
I understand, but let me just ask. Did you tighten the cap on the bleach bottle? Did you?
Will you get off that kick?
Ma'am, I think you just have some issues that need to be dealt with. I'm honestly scared for your other children.
Did you use a trampoline or anything when you...
All right, forget it.
Yes, ma'am. I smoked crack jumping on the trampoline with my Jim Beam bottle.
Well, that's why your boy died then.
Okay, see, if that makes you feel better, I did all that. You're out of touch with reality, ma'am.
Absolutely. I think she's insane from her grief.
I beg your pardon.
Well, I think the things you're saying... All right, Lori, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Cheryl. Cheryl, go ahead.
Hi, Ms. Dooley. First thing I want to say is I have lost a family member due to a drunk driver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do understand your pain.
Thank you. I need you
to understand something, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In life, we still have laws, ethical things we are required to follow, no matter what our pain is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, if you are estranged as far as your pain...
Can I interrupt the caller for a minute? But, Ms. Dooley?
Yes.
You are saying,
I'm sorry?
Okay, it's... Go ahead, Cheryl.
I'm sorry. Ms. Dooley, I just need you to understand something, honey.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand that you are responsible for your actions.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else's. Oh, if this lady pulled in front of you without a turn signal, she's responsible for her actions, but she is only answerable to the law, not you.
No, I take full responsibility for my actions, and then I admit to the court that I did drag the knife along her car. But
okay, then you are therefore subject to whatever the courts say that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
By threatening the courts, and I know you don't feel it's threatening, but if I tell you, if I say to you, Miss Dooley, if you step on my foot, I am going to knock you out.
I don't understand.
Or Miss Dooley, if you step on my foot, you're going
to
be very, very sorry. Do you not take that as a threat?
No.
Then
wait a
therefore,
second.
By you saying, if you give me community
it's
service,
like this,
you're going to be very, very sorry.
It's like this. For them to put me in an orange jumpsuit and work on the community service, they might as well just squat over my son's grave and relieve themselves.
Okay, can I make a suggestion to you? This idea just came to my head.
Mm-hmm.
Use a temporary hair color.
Mm-hmm.
Change your hair color.
Yeah.
Wear sunglasses so nobody recognizes you.
I just have my hair done.
A temporary hair color will not affect you, but I will tell you something,
mm-hmm.
honey. I want you to know one thing. I can
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
What are the reasons? Bobby Dooley joins us here on The Phil Henry Show, and we're talking about, are you right now at a bingo tournament, and so I don't want to keep you.
Well, we're having our bingo tournament, Phil, for our floor prize tonight, which is the Alan Worsen banana yellow pantsuit, which is the grand prize of our bingo tonight. And so, obviously, a lot of women have turned out for it.
Okay, you can still talk?
Yes, I can.
I mean, keying someone's Mercedes-Benz because your son died...
I didn't key her Mercedes-Benz because my son died. I keyed her Mercedes-Benz because... You have to understand something. She's some slut in a...
You don't know that... Why do you call her a slut? What?
She's a blonde in a candy apple red Mercedes with the big, big hair. Okay? And to run a Swiss Army knife along the paint of a 2005, or whatever it was, a 2004 Mercedes, is liberating for a lot of women. We have it's taken so many years for us to get to where we are today. And
what are you telling me now? It's some women's liberation thing? Are you telling me?
I'm telling you that it's liberating for a woman to be able to exact revenge against that prototype slut that's out to steal our men. Yes.
All right, let me go to Eileen. Hello, Eileen. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say to the young lady that we should not take the law into our own hands, that a threat to someone's life in Texas would be a felony, which is a penitentiary offense. Threats to on airplanes or to the president or real serious matters these days.
No, I didn't threaten the president or
No, I just
airplane.
Say that is a serious, even more serious, that, but to threaten a person's life, not even to touch them, just a word can cause you to be in a third-degree felony to a penitentiary. Now, have to trust in divine retribution and not take the retribution into our own hands.
I've never seen that.
Excuse me?
So I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I was saying that we have to trust in...
I started to key women's cars when I was about 16.
Yeah,
see, when a whore walks out...
You
keyed
it how long ago when you were 16?
Yeah, and
oh, I thought
what,
you did it recently.
No, I did do it...
Wait a minute. Is this not the first time you've keyed a car?
No, the point I'm trying to make to Eileen is, this is a new day of liberated women.
Oh, women.
Oh,
we've always been liberated, honey. You just didn't
Eileen. When the whore walks out and sees the scratches on her car, she knows she's not going to take your man.
Madam, are you better watch who you're calling names because is such a thing as...
As any blonde that drives a red Mercedes-Benz, I can tell you, is a...
He's a rich
sharing whore.
Well, wait
a
minute.
He doesn't have to be the other word.
That's exactly right. You know what I'd like to know from you,
I've had Thunderbirds and other cars, and I happen to be a Christian mother.
I
would resent someone judging me on the type of automobile I drove.
Well, a Thunderbird is quite different from a Mercedes-Benz. But let me just say this. When I saw that woman, and I knew that my son had died a year ago, I decided to take a handful of dirt and put it into her gas tank. And let me tell you why. When you're 16...
Did you do that too, plus keying the vehicle or knifing it or whatever you want to say?
Yes, I did. Well, look, Eileen,
you did
both
of those things?
When you were 16...
Ma'am, you know what that is?
What?
Excuse me for interrupting, but that's pure D vandalism.
No, it is not. Look, when you were 16, Eileen, you had to go out and key a horse.
Do what to a horse?
Didn't you key horses back in your day?
No, ma'am. I owned one, and I treated it nicely and paid the stable to keep it.
But let's say you didn't make a turn signal on your horse on the trail.
I'm afraid he didn't have any, my dear.
Well, what did you
do? He was not electronic. He was a real...
No, but did you use hand signals on horses so that when you're going down the trail... And
this is ridiculous, ma'am. You don't need... You got horsepower, but not horses.
I understand that.
The turn signals are in vogue since... The electronic automobile horses came a long time before Mr. Ford invented the automobile.
I understand that, but when you were riding a horse down the trail and there were horses behind you or some were coming inbound, did you use a hand signal to let the other horses know?
Ma'am, you never heard of such a thing as a hand signal on a horse. You had one hand on the bridle and probably the other with the... whip or whatever.
All right, I'm not familiar with horses, so you didn't...
We're talking
horses
and horsepower.
Well, what about if you wanted to turn and there was another horse coming inbound?
Ma'am, where'd you get on horses?
You mentioned that you used to own horses.
Yeah, but you brought up horses.
Well, no, but I'm saying... Yes, I brought up horses because I said you can't key a horse. And you said, well, you owned a horse. And so, well, that's interesting because... When you are traveling outbound on a horse, and there's
you can brand a horse
traffic.
If you don't go around keying them, I think you would. That would be mistreating, abuse to an animal.
Oh, I see. So searing it with a hot iron, that's okay. But keying, it's abuse.
They do brand
Jesus.
Them.
Jesus.
They
Wait
brand
a minute.
Them, ma'am, but that is for a purpose.
They brand them.
Well, I find that very
to
inhumane.
Prove ownership.
How
the
did
automobile
you know?
Gets a license. And
what did you use for at night
through ownership?
When you were riding a horse at night, what did you use for headlights?
Ma'am, you don't ride horses at night as a rule. I rode mine in the daytime. Otherwise, we had street lights. I didn't ride back before electricity. I'm 74, electricity was there when I came along.
Well, let's say they had to, you know how they say, go into town and get Doc, or whatever those people did. Now, that might be a
Do what?
You know if a woman was pregnant or sick, and it's 3 in the morning, and you've got to go into town and get the doctor, you have to ride at night, so you had to have some kind of street lamps or headlights.
What are you talking about?
Ma'am, if you're riding a horse,
what are you talking
about? No, you don't use your eyes. You could sit there asleep, and that horse would take you. His eyes are your lights. Sorry about that.
So, in other words, you never use turn signal.
Will you get off the turn signal thing and headlights on horses? And I didn't key them, I branded them.
Sir, my T-Bird had those sequential ones that go bing, bing, bing.
Hey, when Jesse James came to town, did you get
a good
look? Mine
had three ways.
Isn't that nice?
Mine had triples.
You went three ways?
No, the turn signals were ding, ding, ding. You know, well, Heath knows what I'm talking about.
What did he do?
Sequential.
What's his name?
All right, get out of here.
She said she goes three ways.
She didn't say that at all, and I don't want to talk about any of it. You're bugging me, okay?
Look, Phil, she said she had a triple A on her horse.
No, she didn't.
What was that lady's name, by the way?
Her name was Eileen.
What do you call a... What do you call a one-legged lady?
Three ways with a horse, huh?
Word.
She went three ways with her horse. What is up with this chick? So she keys a car. Hey, Bobby, good luck with community service, baby, because there ain't no way you're getting out of it. Now, go ahead, send that letter. They'll give you like 100 hours instead of 40. You'll be picking up garbage, hypodermic needles, washing off the cop car, and you'll be lucky if you get home by 6. All right, so there's Bobby Dooley with her son died a year ago, so why can't I key someone's candy apple red Mercedes? And do horses have headlights, and what did you use for turn signals when the other horses were inbound? Did you hear that one? 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, going straight to the hot place. The Phil Henry Show is back.
One night, not too long ago, a man was sitting around his garage with other men from the neighborhood talking about the world events. This individual proffered the point of view that Osama bin Laden may be influenced by James Bond movies. Maybe Osama bin Laden wanted to be a superhero or super arch-villain like the ones he saw in James Bond or in the Batman movies. His friends laughed at him, as you might expect, and he turned around and sued them. Let's listen to this man's story, Stephen Bozell, on how he wants to sue his friends for making fun of him to the point where he cried because he believes Osama bin Laden wants to be Lex Luthor.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Stephen, all I got to say is you need to grow up and get a life. You are a lousy father suing your son for, you know, laughing at you. Sir, I am laughing at you derisively. You know,
the word is derisive,
you know. You know, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You're wasting everybody's time. You're wasting the court's time because somebody laughed at you and you didn't like it. And you want to go get the FBI to put you in a protective witness program. You're an idiot.
Well,
you're
you know,
an idiot. I don't
your
believe.
Your argument is all name-calling. My argument is based on law.
Your argument
which says
is based on
I can sue as a result of someone infringing on my free speech.
You know what? I'll tell you what, pal. If you came after me, I'd go after you and your lawyer. I'd own your house and she'd be disbarred.
Yeah. What are you going to sue me for? What'd I do to you?
See? You know, I say if I was one of those guys in your garage.
Well, they can't touch me because they were on my property when they did it too.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're a loser. You're a loser.
Really?
You're wasting everybody's time.
Okay, fine.
With stuff. Why don't you grow up and get a life?
I care about
Why
my country.
Why don't you grow up and get a life? I care about my
well,
country
that's
too. You're a poor example. You're sending a very poor example to your son.
No, I'm teaching him how to step,
no,
step up and
you're
stand
you're sending
up for
a very poor example.
I was
you're
in my workshop.
You're an idiot father. You're an idiot husband. And this is not this
well,
is
you're
not
an idiot.
The way. This is not the way to give your son an example of a man and what men do. You know,
you
gotta
you know
be big enough.
If you
want to
be sitting there when Bin Laden comes for your wife and kids, you can just sit there and keep on watching TV,
you know,
man. I'm going to be doing something about it, okay?
Well, you know, we're
guys
all doing
like
something
you,
about it.
You're the kind of guy that'll sit there
no,
and score right through a home
invasion
burglary.
You're going to sue somebody because you don't like what they said.
Yeah, you know
you're
what you do?
You're going to sue somebody because you don't like what they said.
You want to throw
That's
down?
A very immature.
No,
very immature attitude. You need to grow up, pal.
I wouldn't
be talking.
I wouldn't be talking smack to a man who's, you know, I sound like I'm probably younger than you.
Yeah, I'm 59.
Yeah, well, you want to throw down with me, that's fine.
you know, you're an idiot. You're
an idiot.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Everybody
you say that word. You know how to spell
you.
It.
You know,
Mr.
everybody's
Bozell,
laughing at you on the air.
Hey,
we're
no,
all
they're laughing
at
me
you.
Off the air. I'm the one that's on the air. They're laughing at
well,
me off the air. What a
no,
idiot.
No, I'm laughing
you're the
at
idiot.
You on the air. I'm
yeah.
laughing at you on the air.
Yeah, but they're laughing at me off the air, not on the air.
Huh?
What are you talking about? They're laughing at me on the air. They're not on the air.
Everybody's listening to you and laughing. They're saying, what
right.
an idiot.
But that shows you,
what an
you're
idiot.
An idiot.
You know,
okay,
you're crazy.
Idiot.
Why don't you do
no,
something with your life?
Okay, gentlemen.
No, he's an idiot.
No. Just listen, it's name-calling, okay?
Look, I was in my workshop working on a magazine rack I was making out of balsa with my wife, April, with a Freddy Krueger mask come on up behind me, and she goes, I'm the Al-Qaeda, ooh, like that, making fun of me all the while.
So what, are you going to sue your wife, too?
When I care about my
Are you going to sue your wife, too? You're suing your son. Why don't you sue your wife?
Would you sue your wife for that, sir?
Why don't you
I
sue
will.
Your wife? You're suing your son. Why don't you sue your wife, too?
Would you sue your wife, Mr. Bozzell?
I will discuss it with my lawyer, yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. You're a loser. I don't know what else to say.
I don't have the right to discuss it with my lawyer. Okay.
No. Are you going to sue your wife?
I want to discuss
with
Are you going to sue your wife for coming up behind you in a Freddy Krueger mask?
Why don't you go kiss my bear? What is that?
I don't hear anything.
Oh, okay. Very funny. Okay. Why don't you kiss my bright red rosy, huh?
Hey, Mr. Bozzell, I can still hear your campfire. Mr. Bozzell? I can still hear your campfire, man, when you're trying to be alone, huh?
Shut up.
Come on, man. I'm fooling around.
Quit it. All you people out.
Hey, Steve.
What?
You figure Bin Laden lives in caves because he wants to be Batman?
You could kiss the devil's private area.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah. Yeah. The cat's having a campfire. The dude's in a campfire because he wants to be alone. Everybody's like bumming him out, calling him a piece of crap. He goes up into the hills and have a campfire, just looking at the stars. And then someone plays the James Bond theme, and now he's really mad. You think Bin Laden lives in caves because he wants to be Batman? But I think the immortal comment there is, you can go kiss the devil's private area. All right, there's the bingo game that Bobby's still at. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, our Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 CD, available online or by calling 877-616-7445, is a two-CD collection of our best material from the year 2003. We haven't even done our 2004 yet, if you're asking me, well, what's the best stuff from that year? 2003 is out and ready to go. And we have a double CD set for you. Now, the money that we raise every year, and we've been doing seven of these, we have done. This will be our seventh year, I guess. No, it isn't. 94 through 2004? Nine of these. Is this nine or ten? I don't know how many I've done. But our very first few we did for Center One in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale area, which was a resource center for people who are HIV positive. We got out to California, and we decided to help out the guys over at my friend's place, and they help kids who are living on the street, teenagers who traditionally do not get, shall we say, they're not exactly high priority on people's We Love Kids list. So the people at my friend's place have helped them out, and we've tried to benefit them with a sale of our CD, and we're really happy to do it. So when you buy the CD, that's where the bread's going. And if you don't like our show, you don't like me personally, and you think the whole thing is just really a large pile of, fragrant yet highly toxic do, then just send them some bread. My friend's place, they're in Los Angeles. Okay, it's time now to take a little look at some of the items in the news. Tommy Lee Jones fell off the wagon with a resounding thud in Las Vegas Sunday night. The former Motley Crue drummer and Pamela Anderson husband was DJing at Light in the Bellagio. And according to club manager Sean Christie, he was playing lousy music. Some of it was his own, and most of it was totally unrecognizable. And the bottom line is, the crowd didn't dig it. Oh, did I say Tommy Lee Jones? Tommy Lee. Not Tommy Lee Jones. The last thing we try to do is embarrass this guy, but we did have to ask him to wrap up the set and make a graceful exit. When he refused, we said we would just pull the plug on him, which is what we ended up doing. Lee started screaming obscenities and pushing his manager. Security removed him from the DJ booth, and he continued to order $800 bottles of champagne and refused to pay for them. And we bent over backwards to accommodate Tommy, but he's just crazy. Yada, yada, yada. Somebody's got to explain to this guy the 80s are long done, man. Just long done. The self-indulgent days of the silly, silly 80s are gone. And Tommy Lee, it's time for you to recognize something that Lance Bass has had to face up to, that Kelly Clarkson will soon have to face up to. It's all done for you, man. It's over. It's over. You had a hell of a run. And if I were you, man, built the way you're built, dude, you don't ever have to buy a drink again as long as you live, man. Just give it up, man. You're not a rock star anymore. Now, if you want to go back to the drum kit and try to get serious,
Maybe you can work up another band, behave like an adult and not like a child. But I guess they'd be asking you to be a whole different guy, right? Just fade away, man. Live in your mansion and shut up. Go over wherever Courtney Love is. Have yourself a card game. Make some coffee. Sit around. Smoke cigarettes and bitch and moan about how it used to be so great. In other news... Oh, we have to leave? Okay. Well, I'll just keep reading the news even though I'll be off the air. Bob Dylan received an honorary doctorate. Now, who do you think you're kidding, Dylan? You and Bill Cosby going to call yourselves doctor? Ha 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 ha. In other news, 177 NBA players and their criminal histories are being recounted in a brand new book.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.